Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. It's good to be back with you again today, everybody. Glad you've joined us. Today, we continue in our study in the first book of 1 John, and we're excited to bring this study to you, and we hope you'll join us each Friday as we move through the pages of this very, very revealing letter from the Apostle John. And here to get us underway is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is an exciting letter, and I think we hear a lot today about engaging our culture. How do we speak to our culture? How do we speak to power? I think, how do we speak to power? We pray.
Yeah.
That's one thing we do, real power. If we want to speak to real power, we pray. But, you know, there's this idea of speaking to power, speaking to into just the world system, engaging our culture. And this little book is a fantastic book. Why? Because it reveals some insights into how the world works, how the world thinks, how the world operates. And it tells us that we've been rescued from that world system so that we could walk in the newness of life, so that we could really bring light into this dark world. But if we really want to engage our culture, I think this great book is just a gem. I mean, yeah, it is a real treasure for understanding how we can communicate with people who are lost, mm-hmm, communicate with people who hold ideas that are anti-Jesus, anti-God. And we're going to see some of that as we plow into this particular letter. It's also a letter to really give us assurance of our salvation, for us to really know beyond all doubt that we belong to Christ Jesus, and that we are one of his, that we have everlasting life. So this is a great book for the benefit of believers and just really putting our feet on solid footing and then renewing our minds in ways that we can communicate this good news out there with people that we meet on a day-to-day basis. So let's just dive in. We're going to get through verses 1 through 4 today.
Just blazing forward.
We're going to blaze through. The way we're designing this study, we're going to look at a chapter. It's going to take us 2 weeks to cover each chapter.
Yeah.
So we're going to give plenty of time. And if you have questions along the way about 1 John, we encourage you to ask those questions. Yeah. Send those to us via email, bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. And then as your question kind of pops up in the flow of the book, we will address that, mm-hmm, as we go through here. So today is the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. So let's just read those four verses. And we're reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. So if that's the Bible you use, then you will be able to follow along word for word. If you're using another translation, it'll be easy to follow along as well. So here we go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So right here we get some insight as to what this book, the flavor of this book really is. It is an eyewitness account. This isn't something that John is making up. He is writing about things that he has actually seen and touched concerning the word of life. It's not a made-up subject. It's not something that has come from his imagination that he thinks is going to be provocative and controversial. He is talking about Jesus Christ himself. So he saw Jesus. He listened to Jesus. He walked with Jesus, he touched Jesus, and so all of that information that he gathered as he was with Jesus, he is going to proclaim that to his readers in this particular letter. Now, in verse 2, he says, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So here is the preface, the introduction to this entire letter. And Richard, you were commenting before we went on the air that if somebody really grasps and fully embraces what John is saying in these first four verses, then the whole book is going to fall in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he says, here's what I'm going to tell you, and then he tells us, and then he tells us again. I mean, he is very, very clear, very, very emphatic, because this isn't John who was under attack, who is being questioned. It's Jesus himself who is under attack and being questioned in this letter, and he's going to deal with it straight up. It's Jesus or nothing.
Absolutely. So this is an eyewitness account. And it's interesting, he doesn't start this particular letter like most other letters are started in the New Testament. He doesn't say, I, John, write this. I, John, chosen by God as an apostle to God, I am writing to you who were at Ephesus or wherever it might be. He just starts in. It's like he's on a witness stand. He's heard the question, and now he's just pouring out an answer. That which I have heard, or that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, this is what we're going to proclaim to you. This is what we're going to talk about. And what he's going to talk about is Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Jesus Christ himself. Now, it says here that that Jesus was from the beginning. Okay. And now this parallels his gospel account. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's just this particular verse, and comparing that to verse 1 of his gospel account, it makes you think John is definitely the author.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just almost identical.
Yeah.
So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word became flesh. As John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. So Jesus isn't something that is of this world. He came from the heavenly realms. He entered into our world. Now, that's something that we need to really stop and consider. So Jesus was outside of this earthly realm, and then he took on flesh and blood, and he entered into this earthly realm. Light entered into darkness. Okay?
Yes.
Now, when light enters into darkness, darkness tries to figure it out. We as human beings try to come up with a story about who this Jesus is. Why did he come? Why is he here? What do we need to know about this guy? What does he have for us? And, you know, the debate concerning Jesus has been rolling for 2,000 years. It's interesting today that people are as intrigued about Jesus as they were when he was on the scene back then, way back then. I mean, some of the major magazines publish annual issues about Jesus. Okay. And it's always around this question, who is Jesus? So mankind has been trying to figure it out. We've been asking that question, who is Jesus? And then we have been relying upon our own understanding in order to come up with a story, come up with an explanation, come up with an answer about who this Jesus is. Now, what John is saying is, you guys quit trying to figure it out. Jesus has clearly explained himself to the world. And there was a few of us that got to follow along, that got to hear the words that came out of his mouth. We got to eat with him. We got to ask questions of him. We were there at the significant moments in his life when he was baptized, when we heard this voice from heaven that said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Then we got to see him die on the cross. We got to see his hands that were pierced, his feet that were pierced. We got to hear the words that he cried out. We got to hear his voice say, "It is finished." And then we saw them take his body down and lay him in a borrowed tomb. We watched Joseph of Arimathea do that. And then we saw that stone that was placed in front of him. And then Peter and I, this would John, as John would be saying this, Peter and I went to the tomb that first morning of the week, early that morning, and we saw that the stone had been rolled away, and we weren't sure what had happened, but Jesus told us that he was going to be raised back to life, and then we got to see him.
Yeah.
We got to see the resurrected Jesus. We saw him in Jerusalem. We saw him on the Sea of Galilee. We had breakfast with him, for goodness sakes. We beheld the glory of this Jesus. And so he's told us all about who he is. And we're simply delivering those words. So you don't have to sit around in your little groups. You don't have to, get your think tanks and do all of this stuff and try to figure out who Jesus is. He has put that information inside of us, and by his Holy Spirit, we are making that information known so that you can know the real Jesus, not these counterfeit Jesuses, but the real one.
Yes, absolutely.
Pretty powerful.
It is powerful. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're here for week two of our study through 1 John. We're looking at the first four verses today. But, you know, in addition to this study, we have many resources to help you understand the New Covenant. And you can find them on our online store under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. But we're only able to produce series like this and resources such as those because of your faithful support. You are listeners, of course. We depend on God working through you to keep this ministry of grace in Jesus Christ available to help your spiritual growth and understanding. So check out all those resources available, and when you do, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel continue to bring the good news every day on the air and online. We'd love for you to partner with us today if you can. But right now, it's 1 John, and let's get back to our study, and again, Bob Christopher.
So God sent Jesus. Jesus entered our world, as John wrote in his gospel. Light entered into darkness, and this light was the light of life. And so John was one of those rare individuals that got to be with Jesus from the time of his baptism to the time of his resurrection and the 40 days after his resurrection. He was there in Jerusalem when he saw this Jesus ascend into heaven, this physical, bodily Jesus ascend into heaven. So he was one of those rare guys that got to witness all of that. And so he knows the real story about Jesus. And God had put the Holy Spirit in John's life. And so as John writes, he's not writing of his own accord. He is being pressed or moved or inspired by God himself through the Holy Spirit. So this is God's testimony concerning his son. So that question, who is Jesus, is being answered by the Apostle John in both his gospel account and his letters.
Yeah.
He is answering that question, who is Jesus?
It's important to remember, quite often we hear John described in this kind of voice, the Apostle of Love, like
yes.
He's a puppy dog.
Yes.
No, remember, John and his brother James were called sons of thunder. This is thunder.
Yes.
It's loving thunder, but it's thunder.
It is
thunder. He is not kidding here.
Well said. Well said, Richard. So we see just in these four verses several things that need to be pointed out. He says three different times, we have seen. So John isn't just messing around.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, we've seen Jesus.
Really, we have.
I was there.
Yeah.
And when somebody says something three times in Scripture, those are exclamation points.
Yeah.
I mean, really look at what I'm saying about Jesus, because I've seen him. He says, we've touched and we've heard him twice. on two different occasions in here. We've looked upon, we've beheld, we've viewed attentively. We've contemplated this. You know, we can go to great sites in this country. We can go to the Grand Canyon. We can go, you know, we had a marvel in our neck of the woods in Atlanta, Georgia, Stone Mountain. We can go and peer on these things and behold, and we say, wow, what a beautiful thing. And then we leave. Mm-hmm. It's just a day, and then we leave. John had 3 years of beholding Jesus Christ, of looking upon this person that was beyond this world. And so Jesus held the attention. He captivated these men. I mean, you think of Peter and his brother Andrew, and then James and John, all fishermen. And they're on their duties on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walks by and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they'd left everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus had captured their attention. Jesus had captured their heart, and they were willing to leave it all. And they did. They left it all to follow Jesus. So they paid a lot of attention to this Jesus. They looked at him with this sense of awe and wonder and reverence, and you can just imagine, why us, Lord? Why did we get chosen? Why were we some of the rare human beings that had a chance to see you face to face? But they were, and they were given that chance to do something. And that's what he's doing here in this letter, and that's to testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. We have to look deep inside of our hearts and really need to ask a question. What is it that I want out of life more than anything else? I mean, some people will say riches, some people will say fame, some people will say freedom just to do and be and say at anything, at any time, anyhow, anywhere. But I'm going to say, if those are your answers, you're not looking deep enough. Mm-hmm. You haven't gone deep enough into your heart and soul to really come up with the real answer. Because the real answer is the most important thing for you. And the thing that you want more than anything else is to know God. That's what you really want. Why? Because God created you to know him. That's why he created you. He wanted you to be in relationship with him. So when sin entered into this world, that relationship was broken. And so you were left restless. You were left empty. You were left saying that there's something not quite right, something that I'm missing as far as being human is concerned. Well, what you were missing is this knowledge of God. So at the very deepest levels of who you are, what you want more than anything is to know God, to know what he's like, to know if he's concerned with you, to know if he cares, to know if he loves you. You want to know God. And guess what? John is saying that I have seen God in human flesh, and I am writing this letter to testify to this person named Jesus and to proclaim to you this eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us and to you through this particular letter.
Doesn't this just reek of John 17:3?
Absolutely.
You might as well be quoting it.
Absolutely. And that is, don't leave them hanging, Richard.
Oh,
you need to quote that.
Yeah, this is eternal life, that they know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Yes.
And that eternal life in Jesus Christ was made manifest to us.
Right.
Now, know Jesus, you know eternal life.
And if it hadn't been made manifest to us, knowing God would be a mystery. mm-hmm. knowing anything about him would be sketchy. We would have some information, some sketchy details about God that have been revealed to us in nature. We could see some of his invisible attributes. We could certainly see some of his power in nature itself. But his character, his essence, would be a mystery to us. It would be left up to our own imagination, to our own understanding, to figure that out. And when you look out there in the world and you see all of the confusion swirling around the idea of God, you see what our imaginations will come up with. And it's not good. Why? Because when it's left up to us, sin is going to be in charge of the narrative.
Yeah.
And we're going to come up with a Picasso painting of God, very distorted, instead of the real thing.
Yeah.
So God didn't leave the knowledge of himself up to us to figure out on our own. He made that manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. So if we want to know what God is like, what he really is interested in, what's really on his mind, the essence of who he is at the deepest levels of his being, we're only going to see it in Jesus. There is no other place to see the glory of God than in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So God took care of this deep burning desire within each and every one of our hearts, and he made himself known in Christ Jesus. One of the best verses in all of the Bible is John chapter 1, verse 18. And you ask the question, why did Jesus come? Why did God send Jesus? And there's lots of great answers, lots of great biblical answers. God sent Jesus to die for our sins. God sent Jesus so that we could become righteous. God sent Jesus so that we could have eternal life. God sent Jesus to redeem us, to reconcile us. All of these things are true. God sent Jesus for these very purposes. But in John 1:18, he says this, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known."
Yeah.
Jesus was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning became flesh and blood. Why? To make God the Father known. That deepest desire in your heart is to know God. God understands that. He put that desire in your heart. And at a point in time, 2,000 years ago, he made himself known in a very tangible, very clear, very simple way. He became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle, in this great book, is making this Jesus known to you and to me. Why? So that we can have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and so that as we enjoy his life together, our joy as human beings can be made complete.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Bob and Richard, thanks. A wonderful study, this second edition. Friends, thank you for being with us for this second installment of our study of 1 John. We'll continue the series next week at the same time, and I hope you'll be here for all of them. As always, if you have a question about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, call our 24-hour listener line at 844-322-2742 and leave a voicemail with your question. That's 844-322-2742. Drop an email as an alternative to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to address that question. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. As we close today, friends, please remember that this ministry is listener-supported, and we need to ask your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ on the air and online every day. Please visit basicgospel.net to see all the ways you can make your gift. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, Billy and Greg and Coleman and Stephen, for Michelle, for Kim and Vivian, for Rod up in Canada, for all of us here at Basic Gospel, have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.